I was going to try to avoid talking about You-Know-Who today, because I got a lot of it out of my system the last 2 days. But then I saw some more reviews. We'll do that after the commercial break. I will spare those of you who are tired of hearing me talk about it. But I will later on. And if you think I hate everything, let me give you a list of things I love. Borat 2 is hilarious. Ted Lasso on Apple TV. I'm going to talk about Ted Lasso on Monday. That show is fantastic. The best show of the year. There's a podcast called Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. Stop listening to me right now. Hit stop. Well, don't hit stop yet because I have to tell you what to do. All right. You're going to download Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. Download like 10 episodes. They're like 2 minutes long, 3 minutes long. Make sure you listen to at least two. The first one's only like 90 seconds. Listen to like two and then you'll be like, all right, I see what he's doing here. Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. Shut me off and go listen to that. Much funnier than me. I also like Sam J's special a lot. I also like Hannah Gatsby's second special, Douglas. Not the Nanette one that everybody's crazy about. That one was fine. Douglas is great. I can't remember which way I had them ranked. I know Sam J and Hannah Gatsby are my two favorite specials of the year. I just can't remember the order. And you know what's not my favorite special of the year. My least favorite special of the year is the special that shall not be named until after the commercial break. And the Quick Snaps podcast, Kostaki Economopoulos and my buddy pal, Aaron Hodges, they do funny football show every week. You should check out Quick Snaps. So here's your list. Borat 2, Ted Lasso, Whatever Happened to Pizza McDonald's, Quick Snaps, and Sam J and Hannah Gatsby. Do all that. Don't watch Thing That Shall Not Be Mentioned. From The Hollywood Reporter, Master Brawny says of President Donald Trump, "This guy has effed up the coronavirus so badly." I almost turned into Foxworthy there. "This guy has effed up the coronavirus response so badly, and this guy has been just so bad for civil discourse. Maz is making politics a significant part of his day-to-day life, using his social media platforms to encourage people to vote. Phone banking for Joe Biden, that is hard work. Whoever your candidate is doing phone stuff, that is hard work. And planning to volunteer as a poll worker along with his wife in Nevada on election day." I respect the hell out of that. Whoever you support, like Maz isn't just like sitting on Twitter or like mouthing off on some dopey podcast. He's like volunteering. Good for you, Master Brawny. He's also doing a podcast. I haven't checked this one out and I love Maz. Maybe I will check it out this weekend. It's called Back to School with Master Brawny, in which he explores a range of questions surfaced by his two children. The Hollywood Reporter said, "Hey, what sort of volunteering are you doing?" Maz said, "One thing I'm doing is waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning going, what happened today? I've been losing sleep." "What about the rest of the day, Master Brawny?" "Well, I've been pretty active trying to encourage people to vote. I'm very active on Twitter. I'm pretty active on Instagram. I'm very impassioned about how bad Donald Trump has been for the country and the world and just what a bad human being he is. What I realize is that I have a group of Iranian-American immigrants," and you would think, oh, immigrants, they would all go, "I don't like this guy." "But there's a lot of Iranian immigrants who like this guy, and I think a big reason is he said he's going to get rid of the government of Iran, which is atrocious and oppressive. But there's no plan, like everything else. This one Persian guy came to me once and said, 'Hey, Maz, I'm a fan, but stop making fun of Trump. He's going to get rid of the mullahs.' I said, 'How?' 'I don't know. He's just crazy.' That's the strategy?" So the Hollywood Reporter said, "How do you talk to people and try to persuade them?" Maz said, "I'm in a WhatsApp chat with a group of friends. Some of them have gone down the QAnon rabbit hole. Oh, it's a conspiracy and Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates planned it all. They drank the Kool-Aid. They probably feel like I drank the Kool-Aid. And I've realized I'm not going to change people's minds who are entrenched. What I decided to do is I need to motivate people who are Democrats who might not have been planning on voting. I've been phone banking in places like Texas and Arizona. I'm going to do Florida. I've been doing this other thing with vote riders, which makes sure people have the right ID cards and all that stuff to vote. I also had a couple events through the Biden campaign. They reached out. We did one event for Arabs and Muslims. Another was for Persians for Biden." I respect the hell out of this. Again, whoever your candidate is, this guy's doing the work. Good on you, Maz. Hollywood Reporter asked, "How do you like phone banking?" He said, "The first time I did was North Texas. I had one really interesting call I did. I was using the name Mike instead of Maz. Maz is a weird name. I didn't want to say, 'This is Maz calling for Joe Biden.' Suddenly, this name came up with this 80-year-old man, Jamshid. That was a Persian-sounding name. So let me just say my real name and see what happens. I said, 'This is Maz.' The guy said, 'Master Brawny, how are you?'" That's great. It was an 80-year-old fan. He said, "I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm getting my daughter to vote for Joe Biden. Maz, do me a favor. My wife doesn't think voting matters. Can you just call her?" He gave me her number, and I ended up calling his wife and leaving a message and said, "Please vote." I think they invited me for dinner next time I'm in Texas. The other thing I'm doing, my wife and I are going to Nevada to be poll watchers. The truth is, last time I donated to Hillary Clinton, but she lost. This time I was like, what can I do to go beyond just donating? I'm sad that he didn't want to use his real name. I get the decision, and I just think that sucks that he has to say, hi, this is Mike. That sucks, right? His name's Maz, and he has to go, I feel bad. That sucks. On that note, the Hollywood Reporter said, how did you feel when Georgia Senator David Perdue mispronounced Kamala Harris's name? Maz said, I saw the clip, and I go, what an a-hole. The truth is, my whole life, it's been a struggle to get people to say Maz, which rhymes with Oz. They say Maz, which is like fingernails on a chalkboard for me. It's like Maserati, Mazel Tov, La Maz class. There's a good essay in The Guardian asking, where does late night go from here? They wrote, regardless of whether or not Trump is reelected, his presidency has altered the genre in form and function. For 4 years, political comedy, and in particular late night television, has lurched through a cyclical Trump attention loop. Hosts mock the president. Trump continues with the next galling liar, lashes out on Trump. We're both. Hosts mock Trump again. Attention paid and courted and repaid. In the 2010s, as the lines in American cultural commentary blurred, Trump jokes became the default late night currency. Even Jimmy Fallon was forced by a ratings war into more political monologues, and he's been doing a great job at them, as we'll talk about in a minute. In the Trump era, the genre has morphed to shoulder two burdens. One, to metabolize liberal outrage through short-circuited Trump jabs, and two, to process the torrent of headlines in our confounding, infuriating, oversaturated reality. Earnestness, which is anathema to internet humor, is an awkward spot for late-night comedy to find itself in, but it's cutting through BS, the legwork of sorting context and promoting inquiry, where late-night comedy can still find wiggle room, fresh territory with or without Trump. It's not so much telling jokes as telling it straight. Humor as a prerequisite, but not the punch. All right, let's do some late-night jokes, and then the break, and then the other thing. Hey, the Dodgers won the World Series, and Jimmy Kimmel said, the Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays to win their first World Series title in 32 years, and I gotta say, besides seeing the Dodgers win, it was exciting to see people touching each other again. Jimmy Fallon said, yeah, people in L.A. looked absolutely thrilled, and this time it wasn't just because of the Botox. Trevor Noah said, congratulations, L.A., your World Series drought is finally over, and your actual drought's only getting worse, but hey, one victory at a time. Trevor, but for real, man, I think this is really great for L.A. because the city really needs a boost right now. The pandemic has hit really hard. The wildfires have displaced hundreds of thousands of people, not to mention half the town just found out they weren't special enough to be invited to Kim K's private island birthday party. That's gotta hurt. Seth Meyers said the third baseman for the Dodgers was pulled from their World Series winning game after he tested positive for the coronavirus, and not a moment too soon because third base is one of the easiest ways to catch the virus. That's a great joke. Stephen Colbert, nice job, MLB testing. You are officially the only thing slower than baseball. Colbert said, of course, given the diagnosis, Justin Turner, that's the third baseman I mentioned in the previous joke. Colbert didn't say all that. Did the responsible thing and hit the dugout for a hug sesh. You get the coronavirus, and you, and whose wife are you, and I don't care, and then I kiss my own wife, and then take off the mask with all the teammates. Woo! Colbert again, don't infect each other, fellas. You're the World Series champs. You get to go to the White House. They'll have plenty of COVID to go around. I want to clap for that one. That's great. Colbert again, this is the most irresponsible behavior by an athlete since LeBron James' pregame anthrax toss. Jimmy Kimmel, once he did test positive, Justin Turner took all the necessary precautions. He left the field for 20 minutes, then he came right back out on the field. And Jimmy Kimmel, you know what? There's no I in team, but there's an I in ventilator. Let's take a break, and then we'll talk about you-know-who's you-know-what. I thought I was going insane when I read all those positive reviews. You can listen to yesterday's episode. Everybody loving Sarah Cooper. You know Sarah. She has a Netflix special, among other things. You know Sarah. And everybody was loving it. Even though the reviews were like, it's not funny. They thought it was great. It wasn't funny, but it's great. And finally, some sanity. I wasn't even going to touch this topic today. And then I saw two things, one in particular, which will be the second thing I tell you about, that made me go, okay, Johnny Mac, you're not insane. The Ringer writes, the obvious question facing Sarah Cooper is whether she can prove she's more than her viral calling cards. The Trump lip syncs are a show of timing, physicality, and editing chops, but they're also drawn from material generated for Cooper by the news. What happens when Cooper, with help from a writer's room populated by veterans from SNL, blah, 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 starts drafting her own scripts? Some skepticism may be warranted, and ultimately, Everything's Fine is not a successful hour of comedy. I wish we could stop there, but everybody wants to make this a thing. So again, that previous sentence was, Everything's Fine is not a successful hour of comedy. But that framing misses the point. After all, the special fails in ways identical to the blunders of names far bigger, more established, and better capitalized than a woman who went from relative unknown to Netflix star in just over 6 months. Asterisk on the Netflix star. Now, I don't know about, you could log in right now. Maybe it's different. But the last couple nights, I've gone on to see what's trending on Netflix. You know, they show you the top 10, and it's usually like Hubie Halloween or something horrible. This thing hasn't shown up yet. So I don't know if she's a Netflix star. Tap the brakes, Ringer. The Ringer says, as the sheer wattage of star power involved suggests, the sensibility on display and everything's fine isn't unique to any individual entertainer. It's a shared way of processing what the closing number inevitably deems hell. We're trying to make this a thing. How about it's a not funny comedy special? How about that? The Ringer continues, what's unique about Everything's Fine is how it contradicts the lessons of Cooper's own work. The lip syncs caught on for many reasons, their brevity, their aforementioned technical chops, the sounds of the white male id issuing from the mouth of a black woman. But at their core, the videos solve a problem so much Trump-era comedy and art in general is unable to solve. How hard is it to come up with something, anything, funnier, stranger, or more shocking than what's already unfolding on our feeds? Cooper shrewdly didn't try, altering the context of Trump's speech just enough to give it new life. One theory of Cooper's popularity holds that she makes Trump's humor legible to liberals who can't stand its source. In the time between Cooper's ascent and the release of this special, the comedian James Austin Johnson became the latest performer to distinguish himself with a particularly apt Trump impression. This one focused on pop culture trivialities like 100 Gecs and Gilmore Girls. There's room for more than one faux Donald in the zeitgeist. Johnson isn't supplanting Cooper, just showing how much harder it is to stand out as an impression than an individual. There are many Donald Trumps and only one Sarah Cooper. If only Everything's Fine had more of the latter than the former. So to recap, it's not funny, but we want to make it sound like it's important. But finally, thank goodness, thank the comedy gods, The Spectator wrote the headline, Sarah Cooper's Netflix special is a crime against comedy. The real star is the producer's phone book. Thank you, Spectator. Watching Sarah Cooper's special, Everything's Fine, feels like dying. Oh, what a sentence. Watching Sarah Cooper's special Everything Fine feels like dying. Not a short, intense, violent death, but a long, slow, painful one. About 10 minutes in, I had to check my pulse. Unfortunately, I was still alive. That's the review you want. How did we come to this? Miss Cooper rose to fame having been a relatively obscure stand-up comedian and moderately well-regarded humorous author, lip-syncing the audio of Donald Trump. Granted, you can't blame Cooper for her success. If you or I made a dumb joke, which somehow propelled us to stardom, we'd probably milk it until its udders were dry. Granted, there's at least a subjective element to comedy. What makes you laugh might not make me laugh, vice versa. So even if you cracked up as you watch one of Cooper's portrayals of a proudly, obviously brash and boorish man as brash and boorish, what about all the other ones? But people watched, they watched, liked, and RT'd enough that Cooper was afforded a Netflix special. The question was, how could someone known for a single joke fill up a special? The answer is, endless celebrity guests. Endless celebrity guests. The author wrote that twice. That's not me doing it. The real crime, though, is the writing. Everything's Fine asks the question of whether American institutions can slide into a competent groove and everyone can more or less get along. One of its few virtues is that it answers no. That's your comedy news for today. Tomorrow on the podcast, a look at SNL's Halloween sketches over the years. It seemed like a good idea when I started to record it. Candidly, it is going to be the 7th best episode of the podcast you listen to this week. Sunday is a normal episode and will be much better. And then we've got the election coming. That should be fun. New episode of the weekly comedy thing up on Sunday morning. Thank you all for listening. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, follow on Spotify, Russell on Pandora, and where else? Amazon. We're on Amazon now. And I will see you tomorrow with the Halloween episode. Like I said, it's the 7th best one of the week. Maybe I'll see you Sunday.